And thanks for listening to Seal City SD. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Seals Jagga.
Hey, it's still the greatest time of the year. Pechanga season.
2020's hot. Pechanga. I didn't get to go last weekend.
Things are coming to a head.
We're also joined by Andy Keats.
I miss Pechanga, guys. It has been too long. I've got the itch.
Big yeah. Strike Force fan, I know.
Jeez, I need to get in that Strike Force.
Are we
Force
doing
season.
A Seal City SD field trip to the Strike Force?
Yeah, we and also take up meth.
Yeah.
Look, I put in my research last week at Disney on Ice over at Pechanga. Just had the itch to get down there.
With your kid. You just went alone, to see what the concessions are like during that event.
Was it a full-blown concession event? Or
full-blown, yeah. I doubt Pechanga is ever more crowded than Disney on Ice.
Was it? Oh, was it jammed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know what? There's a hot product that's coming back that has come back to Pechanga. Well, it will in about a month and a half. The Seals swag is back. That's what I heard at Coronado Brewing on Saturday night from a nice older woman who had a full uniform on, and she was thrilled that the Seals took the game from New York.
So. Well, it's really great that Westberg's mom made it out to the event.
Hey, you know, the event was great. Coronado Brewing is really comfortable, and there was a whole side of the brewery that was locked in. The reception was choppy, but every time the reception went out, they scored, so it worked out.
Yeah, I was bummed I didn't get to make it. I was glad that they did that. The Coronado watch party is more appealing to me than, like, a hotel conference room.
Yeah, maybe.
But they did win last week, which is good. So they're two and five now. It was starting to look pretty grim if they kept running off losses there.
So you got to see the flow of the game.
I did. Yeah, I watched. I pretty much had the game, and I was flipping back and forth with the Sixers and Lakers. Which I'm sorry to admit that, but I mostly saw the game, and they looked good to me. I think you know, it's hard to differentiate how much was because they're playing the worst team in the league, who's also an expansion team. Maybe that was the main reason. But they looked more cohesive on offense, and Casey Jackson seemed to make a difference.
Yeah. So he's back. He wasn't back when we last recorded. So.
Well, it's been a while.
Yeah.
The season has taken a dangerous turn since the last time we podcasted, I think. There was an extended period of very sad games for this team that luckily was broken last week, but...
And bad on multiple levels. It was like they looked bad, they were losing, and when they were home, the attendance was not great.
The feeling of last year had dissipated, it seemed like. I mean, I was still watching the games. I haven't missed a game, I don't think. But, like, they just looked bad, right? Like, it wasn't even close. They weren't even close games. They were clearly outmatched on the floor. And I mean, some of that's because they were playing some of the better teams in the league, but, like, they played Calgary, who doesn't have their best player and who has performed terribly without Dane Doby. Hated Dane Doby. Yeah.
Prick.
And we
suspended. Still suspended?
Still suspended, I think, one more game.
I wonder why.
Yeah. They didn't even look good against them. I mean, it's been bad. I mean, they beat Vancouver in overtime, which was a pretty thrilling end, but let's not
Captain
kid
with
ourselves.
The winning goal.
Yeah, let's which not is not ourselves. Like Vancouver is a bad team also.
Yeah, so it's a bad team that you beat in overtime because a defensive player gets a one-on-one break with the goalie.
Yeah.
It's not like you controlled the face-off and ran your offense and got a goal on the doorstep.
Yeah.
So, that's not great. It's not great, but I don't know. Maybe this is the optimist in me, but I'm kind of looking ahead and thinking, okay, you got Jackson back. Fields is playing well, and I think while he's not doesn't seem suited to be capable of carrying the offense, if you get Stotts back and you have Stotts, Berg, Jackson, Greer, Noble, and Fields, that does seem like a formidable offense that can put up points.
Well, let's get to the defense because
that's the thing
through the bad streak was that there wasn't one weakness you could point at. Like, literally everything about the team was terrible.
Yeah, including something that we had never really contemplated as a weak spot.
which is goalie.
Goalie.
Yeah. The team had allowed, I mean, they'd played more games, so it's, but on a per game basis, they were one of the worst in goals allowed, one of the worst in goals for. Like, there was nothing I could point at during that cold streak that you could be like, well, there's this bright spot, right? Like,
I think there was one at one point, and this might not have lasted long, but they were the most penalized team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is that's a bad statistic, but it was kind of like, well, if you straighten that up, things might be better. But yeah.
So you mentioned the goalie.
Yeah.
This goes back to the home opener, right? Which was a terrible, I mean, just a lot of questions like that I would have for Patrick Merrill for that game, where he basically yo-yoed Frank in and out of the game.
Yeah.
Finally settling on benching him. He looked awful. Looked pretty awful in the game after that.
Yeah, but they stuck with him.
He did not play in the last game, the victory.
Right, he was injured.
Injured. I don't know if that's in quotation marks. I don't know. The whole injury thing with this team is very... they're not open
they're
about
not
it.
Open about it.
Is that a league-wide thing that you've heard? Or have you seen anything about that? Like,
I can't imagine it's a directive from the league, right? Mm. I mean...
I would guess that it's not a directive, but given that we don't know why the reigning MVP is suspended for half the season, I can't imagine that they have especially strict injury reporting requirements.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as a fan, though, like I watched the game last week and I was curious, like what's wrong with him? Like,
now, the reason I think he probably has a legitimate injury is because they put themselves into such a tough spot. They don't have a third goalie
right,
on their
Connor
roster.
Kiernan was
so Connor, was, and you can't suit up your backup goalie as like a floor player and then just be like, oh, okay, let's change his pads and get him in the cage. So he had to dress as a second keeper, and meaning he wasn't available to play on the floor, which, you know, I don't think they would go to those extents to that extent if Celiano didn't have a real injury.
And let's be clear, Demude looked really good.
He certainly looked better than I've seen Celiano this year.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with Frank is he's let in a lot of easy ones. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember it last year, but I don't remember him letting in a lot that just go through his legs. You know?
Right.
And there was a couple 2 to 3 game stretch there where it seemed like it was happening a lot with him.
It was. And I found myself wondering at the time, well, they picked him up in the expansion draft. And my understanding was that the year earlier he had been benched after being a starter the year prior to that, which meant it wasn't impossible to imagine a team essentially moving on from him due to poor play. So while, you know, after a couple bad games, you might say, well, okay, took a couple bad games, but it's a couple bad games from a guy who had rebounded last year from a point that somebody had already given up on him. So I thought it was a pretty significant cause for concern, and then Danute did look better last week, I think.
So I listened to Patrick Merrill did a very long podcast with Mike Grace. He basically professed his undying loyalty to Frank, said that he's just young, which is kind of a long-term way to make me feel better about it, but doesn't make me feel better about the next game.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, like you said, they've kind of painted themselves in a corner where there's no other options, right? Yeah. I mean, they let their backup goalie go in the expansion draft last year.
Right.
They've got one guy, so...
Yeah, and he's a rookie.
Yeah, so there's not a lot of options here. But, I mean, do you guys think... Do we have... I mean, this is great for the podcast dramatic-wise, but do we have a goalie controversy?
If a struggling goalie gets injured and his replacement plays well in the team's second win,
you have to stick with it, right?
How is that not a controversy, right? In any sports talk radio setting, that's what this is.
Team Tank or Team Demude? How do you say his name?
Demude?
Demude.
We'll have to think of something that rhymes with that.
Yeah.
Because, really, Frank consists of about 20% of the shtick of the in-game announcer at Pechanga.
Yeah,
there's
been a real commitment made.
When Woods loses the Frank, that bit's gone. I mean, what are they going to do?
Well,
I mean, I would argue more ska, but...
Yeah, more ska. More ska in the third quarter, Mike. Yeah. Come on, I know you're listening. But I mean, really, like, do you think that this is the type of league where a team could have this kind of... this controversy. I love saying it. But, you know, if it was like, if it's a real controversy, could it divide a locker room, or are these guys just like, we play lacrosse on the weekends, we're not going to get like too torn about this? Do you think that
they're highly competitive?
They are.
Right?
No,
like,
I'm not questioning whether these games matter, like you did on our first episode. But like, no, but like, could these guys really be in camps within the locker room? And would that be a problem that Patrick Merrill should be evaluated on for figuring out?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when you say like controversy, there's no external pressure. I mean, like, this podcast is not going to drive anybody to like feel the heat. But I think it's much more of an internal problem, especially at goalie, where, like, you know, it's a big thing because you could do everything right and then it falls on one guy. So that's the type of thing that I think would, if the guys who are looking at tape and in, you know, film study, breaking down what went wrong, if at that level of analysis it is true that Siliano was playing poorly and was the reason, you know, that those goals were as bad as they seemed to be to our untrained eyes, then yeah, I'm sure that would weigh on a locker room. Now, it might, you know, that might not be the case. They might be in there going, yeah, these idiots don't know what they're talking about. Those were missed assignments and they looked like easy goals because they were easy shots.
Yeah. Well, I mean, can't we take the evidence of the home opener against Toronto that he was indeed playing poorly? Otherwise, right. Merrill wouldn't have benched a healthy Siliano, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Were you ever on a lacrosse team where, you know, the goalie was struggling and there was a division on the team whether or not it was the defensive system or the goalie? And were, like, the defensive players, were they allowing themselves to cast blame on the goalie? Was there ever any of that kind of conflict for you?
I was never on that. In high school, we had an exceptionally good goalie. Played college ball. He was maybe the best player on the team.
Other than you, of course.
Considerably better than me.
I just wonder if that's like a certain thing that could actually be an issue on
I've
the team.
I've certainly seen that. Certainly see it. I mean, especially like goalies make the defensive calls too. They call for slides and they sort of are the, you know, the way the middle linebacker orchestrates a football defense. The goalie does that for lacrosse, so it's a significant role aside from just making stops as well. So yeah, it would all the areas where you could have a controversy, that would be the worst one you would want.
I mean, I would assume it's like other sports with a goalie. I mean, soccer, for instance, like there's so much that's orchestrated on the field among the rest of the team to be a quality team unit. And the goalie is one of the only positions where, I mean, it's kind of them standing alone and their skill against whatever is going on. And it lets down the rest of the team. I mean, you can have an excellent performance on the field from the rest of the players and have that negated completely by one player.
Yeah, and
it's underwhelming. I mean, it can take the wind out of a team's sails.
Yeah, and you've seen these games. It is conceded at the start of a possession that there will be a shot. Mm-hmm. The goal of the defense is to get a particular shot. You want them to shoot it from one place, one guy, at one time, and not another guy at another place at another time. And so if you get the shot you want and it's consistently going in, then there's no one to look to at that point but the goalie.
Mm. Well, we'll keep an eye on this one. Because goalie Frank versus D.
I assume we don't know anything, but is Siliano going to play this weekend?
No, they never tell us anything.
They never tell us anything.
This league needs to get into gambling where the injury reports matter.
Yeah.
We're going to Vegas, right?
That's true. So we were talking before we went on. Month of February, big one for the Seals trajectory in 2020, right?
Right.
So, all right, lay out everything we've got going on.
Well, so they're 2-5.
Yeah,
right? They do need to build themselves back up into a playoff contender. But yeah, we got the Vegas game, which seems to be a big deal for the NLL in general.
Because I got a minor gripe here. They keep referring to it as historic, and the history making aspect of it seems to be that the NLL has never played a game in Vegas, which. I mean, I get that it's a first, but I think that's a loose use of the word historic.
Look, they got to sell the sizzle.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool thing that they're doing, and you know, it's if to the extent that they're testing out that market, I think that's cool. The what the Seals have done to promote it and to offer tickets and hotels is all very cool. But is it historic? I mean, like, you know.
Like, are people going to be
talking
about it?
We're going to put
this
on the same page as, like, Lincoln Crossing?
I mean, in 2 weeks from now, will anyone be talking about it? Probably not, right? Well, I mean, that's because we'll be in the midst of another historic game in 2 weeks, but...
Yeah. Well, let's say, even in the case that it's a screaming success and they award Vegas an expansion team, like, how many times is it even going to come up after that as, like, well, we had that... Yeah. That game that proved the viability of the market.
Took over the town.
Yeah, like maybe during the expansion draft that year.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't help when I hear Steve Govett, he's done interviews where he's basically said that they were preempted out of the sports arena and this was their fallback option. So it definitely wasn't plan A for this team.
Maybe
and
keep that under the hat. Go ahead and say that this was the
I mean, when the NHL, reason. Before the NHL opened their season, the first Golden Knights season, did they play a regular season game in Vegas? And was it historic, more importantly? I don't know. I mean, they must have, maybe they did like a
preseason game
or something. Yeah, I don't know.
So the fact that we don't know the answer to that, I think, is indicative of just,
not very historic. Yeah.
But I think it's cool, and I'm looking forward to the game.
Sure, yeah. I'll be watching on TV.
So that'll be on the BR Live. They'll have like full.
It's free as well.
Full coverage, yeah.
Full free. Okay. So if you have not purchased a membership and you've shied away from the $2.99 per, this will be the free game this week.
Okay.
Which is nice. So.
Well, a conversation we were having when the real dark days of December and January, could this be a look into a possible relocation of the Seals if they don't work out here? I mean, is that too hot of a topic?
No, I think the league wants to expand. I don't think they want to move. I mean, they make money on expansion. They don't make money on the move necessarily, right?
No. Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of what you're investing in this league at the ownership level
is expansion fees. Yeah.
And that's the way most small, minor leagues, it's kind of a pyramid scheme. The earlier you're in it, the better, because then you reap more of the expansion fees. So
yeah, and they keep inking these corporate sponsorship deals. They had one with AT&T last week.
Yeah, MGM.
MGM that get written up at like CNBC and Bloomberg. And they all say that the league is itching to get to 30 teams, which is...
ambitious.
That is an ambitious expansion from, what was it, 12 when the Seals came in? Like 14 now?
I think. What are they at now? Yeah, they're at 13 right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, 30 is... that's more than twice as many as 13.
Yeah.
In any case, I think it'll be cool. I'm excited to watch it. Not going. I think when we recorded last, I was still potentially planning on going.
Considering it. But yeah. They do have another special event in February. It's the game on the – what's their official name for it? It's at Miramar. Rumble on the Runway, yes. At the Marine Corps Air Station.
Pretty good.
Miramar.
I'm good with
it. Yeah. I know exactly where they're setting up. It's right next to the runway. It sounds like there will be active missions being taken off in the background. 5,000 seat bleachers.
Active missions being taken off in the background?
Well, training missions. But
yeah, sure. I know.
They're not closing the runway. I mean, there's going to be planes taken off. So
will that game be televised?
Cool. My son is going to hate that.
I don't know. I mean, Fox should be Tabitha should be there, right?
Yeah, I think she is. Yeah.
Although I don't know how the taking off of planes will play with sound for the TV.
I mean, the place is huge. I mean, I don't know if you've been to the air show, but like it's huge.
Okay.
You're quite a ways from the runway. I mean, they're making it sound like the runway is right next to it. There's all kinds of space all around.
Got it. Okay. And do you know the capacity for that game?
5,000.
5,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you figured out the logistics of how to get on and do that?
I just sent in my stuff.
Okay.
What I was told by the team is that the Iranian crisis has made it much more difficult because the security levels were ramped up, which is what I think prompted them sending out an email out to all season ticket holders to send in their like personal data, their driver's license information.
Oh, you think they're going to run? That wasn't part of the plan when it, when
no,
this
I don't think
booked?
That was part of the plan. Mm. And I think that they originally had hoped that maybe they could offer tickets out to the general public, and then the whole Iranian thing kind of put the kibosh on that. So I think it's just going to be us and some Marines out there. I don't know what their season ticket holder base, but you know, this is actually going to give us a real good look at how many season ticket holders there are. I do know there is a Chipotle on base, so maybe that'll be our pregame. There's a bowling alley. We could pregame at the bowling alley.
Are we not just going to hang out at Brewski's? Or?
I'm okay going to Brewski's. I do think it'll take a bit to get on base. Yeah. I would probably recommend everyone to leave extra early for that game and just get on the base. It's probably smarter for us just to go early and get on base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds historic.
Sounds very historic. But I think it does put a highlight on some difficulties for this team, in which the last home game was, what, 2 weeks ago? And they're not having another home game until the first week of March. So that's almost a two-month layoff from Pechanga.
I could see playing as a benefit in that.
There's like pent-up demand.
Pent-up demand, yeah. Which I don't know if it'll play out that way, but I could see it.
Which is what led to their huge opening night last year.
Right.
Was that it started so late that they had so much time to sell tickets and push that game.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess it remains to be seen. It would certainly help if they aren't 2-7 going into, or 2-9 or whatever they'll be at that point.
Yeah, I think it was easier to push people last year to come to games when you said, like, oh, they're in first place.
It
was after team. Christmas, right?
Yeah, and it was after Christmas. Were they preempted at Pechanga for the Rumble on the Runway as well?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I mean, my understanding is
bad scheduling.
They are second or third priority. If you're not counting even concerts, concerts are always first. But
right.
I'd heard that the Strike Force are surprisingly high on the priority list. Like, they are ahead of the Sockers on the priority list.
Really?
And it all comes down to how much they're willing to pay.
Yeah.
I guess whoever owns it is willing to pay.
Well, because yes, I mean, Sockers have free parking stuff, so they don't. So which means that I guess they're paying the operator for that, right?
Right, and all the teams are paying. They're just hoping to recoup. Other teams are hoping to recoup that on the parking costs. I mean, I'd heard it was like $5,000 or $6,000 per game
for the parking lot.
Yeah.
So what time is the game on March 7th? Is that a night game?
That's back to night games.
Okay.
I think there's only one more day game left, and that is the Rumble on the Runway.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, the March 7th is going against the debut of the San Diego Loyal.
Big,
so maybe that
big second-tier sports weekend that yeah. weekend, because you've got the Loyal, 1904, the Seals, and the Sockers all at home. And then you've also got, I mean, the big Strike Force.
Is that night? That Sunday night?
Strike Force, I think, is in the afternoon, but they're away, so I mean, be tuned into your YouTube stream for that.
Yeah,
man,
the Loyal have absolutely covered the digital world in ads. I don't know if that's just the
I'm not fed those ads,
really. Okay, yeah. So that I've clicked on something that has got me in their system, but I can't go to a website without getting fed a Loyal ad.
Well, and the Seals are going directly up against them, which will be interesting to see. Same time, same day, so.
Yeah. They're not the new kid on the block anymore.
No.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to probably go to the Seals.
I'll be at the Seals.
I am. I've made my choice here. So, let's take stock. How do you feel about the Seals right now?
I think I'm as engaged as ever. Yeah. I'm still, you know, even through the losing streak, it was, you know, the games I wanted them to win, I still enjoyed watching.
Yeah.
Certainly in person, I've enjoyed watching. I brought the whole family for the last home game, and everyone loved it. It was a good time.
Yeah, I've still got a 100% success rate bringing people to games.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the 1 o'clock game really worked for me. That was the last home game.
And I think that was considered an undesirable time slot. But for me and the only reason my family went is because it was a 1 o'clock game. And so for me, if they could switch all games to 1 o'clock,
it would work.
I think
for
that'd
me.
Be great.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got this theory that
I like Saturday at 4.
Yeah. See, I've got this theory that all of these teams want to be the main event, right? The Saturday 7 o'clock is they consider their
that's your
prime
night
position.
That's your
right.
Yeah, build your whole thing around.
Right, and they're building the marketing around, you know, it's the party that you can go to. It's $3 beers. It's your night right there. And part of me wonders if it's a better sell to sell it as the pregame, right? A 4 o'clock game. Go get some beers. It's still light out for the tailgate. Mm-hmm. And then go out to dinner after or something. Gotcha. You know, you still got the night in front of you. For me, that's an easier sell. I don't know. Maybe if I was in my 20s, it wouldn't be the same, but I kind of think it would be.
Yeah, we're all boring dads.
Check out the fine Midway cuisine.
Look, there's an Olive Garden and a Chili's right there. The world's your oyster.
What's
right
that?
Around.
What's that sausage place that's next to Modern Times?
You know, I've been driving by that and really wondering about it. The place next to the dispensary.
Yeah. They say that they have live music there. I'm always interested what that entails. It had a gigantic Trump banner up for a couple years.
Yeah, really.
Like,
what is
it? It's
huge.
Like Hancock Street. Grill or something.
Yeah, something like that.
If any of our loyal listeners have been there, I would love a restaurant review.
Yeah.
Genuinely. If you call in with a number that I don't have and let us know what happened there.
Well, I'm pretty engaged still. I think like the fact that they started off so rough and they're resurging, it's added stakes to watching it, just that they might be competing to save the franchise. Like, is this going to happen next year? I mean, do we know?
I feel pretty good about that question. I don't think that things are that dire. I think attendance is down, which I'm sure is a bummer, and I'm sure they're trying to work on.
Well, let's be clear, they're in last place. They're last in attendance.
Last in attendance.
I ran the attendance per game. They're last by a fair margin, but there is some hope in that the Georgia Swarm used to be the worst in attendance, and they're right in the middle of the pack this year, which shows that there's been growth in their market. So it's kind of the moral of the story might be that if you stick around long enough, you sell the product, you build your fan base, that there is a path to success, which, you know, luckily we're not dealing with an owner who's, you know, barely making payments every month.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing that becomes hard to disentangle is, are we down because we were good last year and now we're bad? Or are we down because last year was the inaugural season and it was new and people gave it a look, but it's not new anymore? And so that has worn off and it has manifested in lower attendance. Or a combination of those two things. I don't know.
It's probably a combo.
Yeah.
I don't know. It does feel a little different. And for some reason, it just feels like there's more competition.
Yeah.
That's what I think, too. I mean, if you're a person who's prone to go to, like, more than one goals game a week, which might be a large crossover, are you going to go to a third night at Pechanga?
It's just I can't go down to Pechanga that much, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'm on – if you were to draw a curve of people that go down to Pechanga, like, I'm probably at the far end of it, like, for going the most.
Oh, yeah.
Going more than the average.
I mean, you just went
San
to Disney
Diego.
On Ice for market research.
I mean, I've been there for 3 weekends in a row.
We're like, three times a monthers.
Right. Like, what percentage of the city is going 3 times a month? And, like, I'm drawn to the Sockers. I like
None.
The Sockers, right? I don't even go to the goals games.
Those aren't friends of mine.
Yeah.
Like, if I cared at all about the goals, like, that's going crazy almost, like 4 times a month for that. Yeah. Like, I can't do it. It's too far, and, like, I just can't do it. I'm at my limit right now. And, like, luckily, for the Seals, I guess, like, they're generally my default. I still try to make it to some Sockers games, but, like, I just have this feeling where I'm pulled there too often. Like,
yeah.
I just can't keep doing it.
Yeah, so I've missed 2 games this year. I feel like I've been absent from the Seals season, but it's not for any reason other than it's been my
lack
schedule
of devotion to the team.
It's just they suck, and it's just not worked with my schedule. I can't think of any reason that would apply to anyone else, though. I think it's just particular to myself.
Yeah, I mean, I've only missed 1 game, I think. So I mean, I'm
at 100%.
Are you really? Yeah. I mean, it's still a blast to me, even when they're losing. The game is really exciting to watch live still for me. So
And I think they're bringing in some new fans, I've noticed. I see new faces there. And I do think there's a growing core group of our listeners that have meetups and tailgates. Like, we had quite a good tailgate last game.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, I saw you guys all had jeans on and looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
See, I like the 1 o'clock
just
start.
Just a bunch of dads clinking cans.
Yeah.
I like the 1 o'clock start because then, you know, Colby's is still going on. And you could just be like, hey, honey, go buy a sword.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
they have like seven mismatched wrenches on a blanket.
Yeah.
Or something.
Get that vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, then you're out of there by 3 o'clock or whatever. And
it's probably more like four.
I mean, very pleasant. Like, very pleasant to get home at 4 o'clock and have the day in front of you still. Like, it was great.
Maybe the move is just to paper the room like crazy. Go to every high school and just give tickets out.
Growing the game, you might as well fill the seats, right? But
I would, yeah. Joe, if you're listening, just like have 4 watch parties all over town and just buy out the bar. Like, I don't
and
know
hand
why.
Out tickets, right? Out they tickets. May not even like, I mean, most people won't know what it is, right? But they'll,
I mean, yeah, if you were at a brewery and somebody, and you didn't know, you had no idea about what the NLL was, and you were just told, oh yeah, this billionaire is paying for your drinks for 2 hours. Will you watch this game? You're probably going to watch, and you're probably going to go to a few games.
Right.
I mean, like,
yeah. Just put them in Loge, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm a season ticket holder. My feelings won't be hurt that you're giving away those tickets. It's fine.
I'd be happy about it.
Right.
It's fine. Yeah. All right. Well, so, I got to bounce, but before we do, Stotts watch. When do we think he's coming back?
So,
is he coming back? Are we getting worried?
The team's put a lot of stock in this because every interview I've heard is just wait till Stotts gets back. It's going to fix everything. They put out a video this week, right? It was like 3 minutes of his rehab.
Yeah, he bought
Sounds
some
like
bell
he
peppers.
Rode back part two.
Yeah, it looks like he's eating nutritiously.
Yeah, seemed like it.
Said he dropped some weight,
mm-hmm.
Which this was never reported, but he said he had a setback in the recovery.
He did say that. I thought that was concerning.
I think he's supposed to be back middle of the next month.
We don't know if that includes the setback
right.
or if the setback pushed that back.
I'm sure they would love to have him back for Miramar, mm-hmm. since there will be a lot of attention on that. But
yeah,
it's just this. I mean, in the video they showed, it was like, yeah, I just started running and throwing again, and it feels great. But I was like, oh, no, that's like we're only 2 or 3 weeks from when you said he'd be back. Like,
right.
What happens when he gets hit by dirty Dane Doby going for his ankle?
Fresh,
it's a physical
Dane
game.
Yeah,
it's a physical game, and I don't know that the turf at Pechanga is the highest grade that you want to start.
Well, and he's
go
a player that
on
invites
them.
Contact. I mean, you for saw sure. guys draped all over him to try to stop him last year.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'm worried about it.
Stotts watch.
Stotts watch.
Yeah, I mean, overall, they're doing great work with video, though.
You know, they could, you know.
We could talk about that.
Look, they could throw some money our way, because we got some ideas for some productions for them that I think would really be cutting edge. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, with what they're doing, you know, it's good. It's good.
I particularly liked, I just caught it, the video they did for Vegas, where the guy, Berg is like reading something from a movie. What's that movie? Is that
Hangover?
Hangover, yeah.
I didn't see that.
I didn't know what that was, but I was like, this is high concept.
Yeah,
I'm into
good.
It. These guys are gonna kill it in Vegas.
Look, they're trying. They're trying really hard.
They are. No.
All right,
fellas, I gotta bounce. You guys gonna keep going?
Well, I think we covered everything.
We'll keep going.
Okay. So,
well, we're losing our experienced. I guess we're not going to get into any new stats today or anything like that. But, you know, I do think it's interesting at where the Seals' place is in the greater scheme of San Diego sports, which is something we've talked about quite a bit on this podcast. I mean, and you guys with the Kept Faith are giving a lot of attention to the Loyal and what their impact is going to be. Do you think that there's a lot of crossover between the crowds or like...
It doesn't feel like it.
Because a lot of this was based on, we're San Diegans and we need to support our team now that the Chargers left. And that was kind of... One of the things that led to this podcast being created is what happens to that vacuum. Now it's like this fight between these teams, right? I mean, I don't see a lot of camaraderie between the San Diego teams at this point because it's cutthroat.
I think you have – it's good that we're talking about this because I think you have the big umbrella for most people in town is the Padres, I would say.
Right.
And then you have – the staunch SDSU people who are feeling themselves, rightly so, because they have the undefeated team and, you know, basketball's killing it. But and they're about to basically get that deal done mm-hmm. for Mission Valley. But, yeah, then there's this greater soccer community. And I don't see a lot of, like, I don't see a lot of conflict with the soccer community and the lacrosse, the burgeoning lacrosse community. I think a lot of those guys, it seems like they'll give lacrosse a shot, but they, you know, the soccer people are so obsessed with celebrating the beautiful game, and you know, it's soccer's loyal strike force, Bridge Barcata, like that's what they're into, and I think the stakes are pretty high for that community, because if the loyal comes out and doesn't nail it or doesn't come close to a sellout, I mean. The fangs are going to be out. I don't know how that goes. And I feel for those people because they've spent the last few years really fighting for the community to grow. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, it seems like the SEALs people, us, are like really just down to learn about a new league. And like, at least for me, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but like part of the attraction was I'm starting at ground zero. I don't really understand this sport. I don't understand this league, but this is a top level of athlete for this sport, and it's fascinating. And I think part of it was the backdrop of what could Joe do for the city if he decided that San Diego was a fertile sports town.
Right.
Which is, you know, the overall question that, I mean, when we were talking earlier about like how, you know, are the SEALs doomed, or are they, could they relocate, or is this going to happen next year? A lot of what I'm really asking is, was this all like a big marketing exercise, or not marketing exercise, but like an experiment for
like
Joe
test,
to see? For Joe to see what he could do here, and did we fail as a community, or are we failing because we're not showing up like we were last year?
In the numbers
year?
That they and, were hoping for.
And you know, these guys, you know, we talked to Govett last year, and it's like, you know, he's used to in Colorado where they're almost selling out, or you know, this is like a completely different. You know, a completely different setting for him. You know,
there's all kinds of interesting case studies in the NLL, though, like where there are some teams that place their arena right downtown, right? Like Pepsi Center in Denver is right in the core. Then you've got like Georgia, like it's in Atlanta, but it's not really in Atlanta. It's like 35 miles out of town. It is equivalent to putting an arena in like Fallbrook. Mm-hmm. And like they're finding success now. Saskatoon in Saskatchewan is like pretty far out of town, pretty far out of downtown, like out past the airport. Like,
yeah.
And so part of me wonders, and I'd heard rumblings that the SEALs are a little interested in an arena of their own, kind of like what the Sockers are doing in North Oceanside, where they are kind of were kind of testing the waters on what they could get done in this county, which tells me that they're probably wanting to grow rather than kind of close up shop as if this was a failed test.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think, looking at like what the Sockers are talking about doing, what do you think like a lacrosse only stadium or arena in San Diego would even look like? Are we talking like 11,000, something like 9,000?
I don't know. I don't, 6 to 8,000? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Maybe he's just like, I liked lacrosse in college. I want to be involved in the game. My son is playing.
I like going to the games when I'm in town, because I have seen it. He has been at the games.
I know. And
he's in those red owner seats with his family, looking happy other than the performance on the field.
Right. I think he's just really jacked on sports. I think he just loves it. And he, you know, for somebody in his that has the money that he has, you just acquire sports teams, which
right.
is how you do it.
And kind of like what we talked about earlier, though, the real money in this game for ownership is off the expansion of the league. So mm-hmm. if you close up shop, you're losing out on that cash flow in the future. So, I mean, you're kind of incentivized to just break even, get as close to break even as you can, and make the real money off the league expansion. So mm-hmm. new sponsorship deals, all that stuff. So,
well, I always hated the idea that, like, you know, San Diego doesn't support sports because they have so much to do. And you look at some of these markets, like we met Sask Rushk fan, and he's a guy living outside of Saskatoon. And I kind of got the feeling from him, like, he goes to Sask games to, like, see other people in the winter, you know, and I don't,
right.
Maybe that is a thing with some of these markets that are usually pretty strong in hockey, like it had hard winters, like you just get out of your house and that's a good enough reason. I don't know. Maybe San Diego has, you know, doesn't have that as a way to propel people to go. I mean, I don't know.
You know, I hate the whole like, oh, well, people are just going to go to the beach, right?
Yeah.
Like, the majority of the county doesn't go to the beach. Like, if we're being honest, you know,
no.
There's vast swaths of the county that aren't near the beach that probably go a handful of times per year, right? But I will say that I've felt stretched the past couple months in, like, things going on, sporting events going on. It's hard. It's hard and it's competitive. And for some reason, this year feels even more so than ever before.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, at least we have kids that enjoy it. I mean, Did your daughter like it?
Daughter loved it.
Yeah.
Family loved it. It's just that time, that 1 o'clock game was really the sweet spot for families, yeah. At least for me.
I think they could do at least three of those a year.
I love it. Yeah.
So
Sunday game should be at one for sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, so, I mean, is there anything else we should cover? I mean,
I think that's it. I think we should try to do an episode a little sooner. Maybe we can try to get some of the team personnel. Onto a podcast.
Yeah, maybe after the Miramar game.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Like that. So, all right. Well, thanks for listening to Seal City SD. We got a big month ahead. Let's go Seals.
Go Seals. And keep asking, why was Dane Doby suspended?
And pick a side, Frank or Dermoud.
Yeah.
All right.
And just Patrick Merrill on the hot seat. These are all hot topics that we should all be considering.
We should ask him on. All right. Land, what's up? This is our house with the San Diego Seals. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. Land, what's up? This is our house with the San Diego Seals.